Romans 8, 24 through 25 and 28 through 29. We were saved with this hope ahead of us. Now hope means we are waiting for something we do not have. How can a man hope for something he already has? But if we hope for something we do not yet see, we must learn how to wait for it. We know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are chosen to be a part of his plan. God knew from the beginning who would put their trust in him, so he chose them and made them to be like his son. Christ was first, and all those who belong to God are his brothers and sisters. Good evening, friends. Have you ever felt like things are finally clicking in life? Like you were doing the right things, thinking the right way, and all was on a smooth path? Years ago, I was led to SUMC and instantly loved it here. I was in a place where I was willing to work on my faith, myself, and began knocking down the walls I had spent my entire life building up. Coming from a home of chaos, drug use, and abuse, I had found building walls and keeping most of my life to myself was my best way to cope. The love of this church, as well as the community of people within the Walk to Emmaus community, helped me to realize that that was no place to live. I started looking up, reaching out, and actively working to heal old wounds. Now, I would still have negative thoughts in my head about my physical appearance. I would still have anxiety about life. And I still had healing to do from years of issues with my father, where the scars were deeper than I realized and were affecting me much more than I was willing to admit. But I had this amazing new outlook, this love for myself and my future, and I didn't want to lose it. Now fast forward a few years, and I was in such a great place mentally, emotionally, physically, but most importantly, spiritually. I married Dustin, an amazing man God had put in my life, and things seemed good. I had developed meaningful friendships with other Christians who loved and cared about me. I married a man who valued me, my heart, and my love for God. We bought our first house, and we're still in the honeymoon phase. I was finding purpose in my volunteer activities here at church, which actually gave me the ability to leave my secular job and take a job that fed my soul as our director of children's ministry. I truly felt like everything was clicking. So you can imagine my surprise when we went to our appointment with a fertility expert and heard her say that Dustin and I would not be able to have biological children. It turns out, I was never going to be able to have children on my own. All my eggs were cracked, in a way. As my heart sank and my eyes filled with tears, I could feel my hopes and my dreams leave me. I didn't understand. My entire life, the only thing I knew I wanted to be was a mother. I was that little girl who would put balloons in her shirt to be a mommy. I never spoke about if I had children, because I knew it was just a matter of when. I had a list of all the things I wanted to do with my children that my parents never did with me. I was going to right all my parents' wrongs. So how could God be playing such a cruel joke on me? How could he have given me such a strong desire in my heart, knowing it was never going to come true? To say I was devastated was an understatement. Now we all know when something goes wrong, you look for someone or something else to blame. Dustin's test had come back fine, so I couldn't blame him. I had always believed God had your best interest at heart, so I couldn't blame him. So the only person I could blame was myself. I was the reason my heart hurt. I was the reason I had lost my dream. And worst yet, I was the reason Dustin's dreams were gone too. I was letting everyone down. Feeling the weight of my self-blame, I reverted back to my old ways. I built up some walls, stayed in my own head instead of reaching out. I let my heart fill with anger instead of praying and reaching out to God for his mercy. But don't worry, I put on a brave face, so no one would know exactly how much I was really hurting. What can I say? Old habits are hard to change. During this period, I realized the hard part of losing your dream is nothing can prepare you for it. It's a loss like no other. How do you mourn the loss of something you never had? I had no photos of my dream, no tokens or real memories, nothing I could hold or stare at or think back on. All I had was a broken heart filled with anger and the rest of my life to be mad. Sounds fun, right? Well, I did have a few other things. For starters, I had God in his timing. I should tell you that the day we found out we couldn't have children was the same day I started my job here as director of children's ministry. I lost the dream of having my own children, but I was gaining 100 at church who now fill my heart with love and joy each week. And because I now worked at the church, I didn't have the ability to take a break from the place. I couldn't retreat so far back into my own cave that I couldn't see God working in others' lives. Couldn't avoid praying, couldn't avoid his goodness. It was all around me for the majority of my day. When I saw God doing for others, I found it hard to believe he was doing good for me. Wasn't doing good for me. Since the beginning, I had been cursing God for letting a desire dwell in my heart for so long. If he had revealed this news to me at 25 instead of 35, it wouldn't have hurt as much, right? That would have been 10 less years to let my dream take hold in my heart. Problem was, 10 years ago, I didn't have church, and I didn't have Emmaus. I didn't have the lessons learned. I didn't have my friends, my church, or my relationships. Have you had the love of a friend who would sit and cry with you? Who you knew was praying for you every day? Who would say, I love you and mean it? I didn't back in the day, but I do now. I didn't have Dustin, a man who has been down in the trenches with me, trying to find hope and light and a new path. I couldn't see it first, but God's timing was perfect. God wasn't going to give me more than I could handle, and he knew I couldn't handle it without the love and support of the people who were currently in my life. I would have truly crumbled 10 years prior, and I can guarantee you I would not have made it to this point today. Something else I had was God's will. Each week, I pray the Lord's Prayer with the children, and months later, I realize that I couldn't pray for my will to be done and God's will to be done at the same time. My heart didn't believe that you could have both. I realized that for my life, I had put so much of my identity in wanting to be a mother that I had never given 100% of my identity to being a child of God. So I started to let go and let God, a lesson I had learned from many at church. He had gotten me this far, and even though it was hard to do most days, I had to trust God had a plan for me, and I had to trust that he would turn my heart into loving whatever it would be. Weeks, months, and now years have passed, and life has gone on. You can't walk through a valley and come out the other side exactly the same, but I was starting to feel more like my positive self. I was being placed in different situations and reminded by God that he can use us for good no matter what. It was being a team member on a spiritual weekend that I realized that part of my pain of losing my dream was that I was losing what I felt was my purpose too. I couldn't understand why God had given me a childhood if it hadn't been to learn how to better myself, be a better mother, or a mother figure to others. Why give me the desire to love little ones and make a happy home for them if I wasn't going to have children? Why give me a heart that could hold so much love if I wasn't going to use it in motherhood? Why have all these desires and abilities but no way to use them at home? As I prayed and thought and felt and lived, I realized that God was putting me on a path to motherhood that was different than what I imagined, but no less important. He was going to allow me to use my past and my present to help create a future for others by becoming a foster mother. When I talked to Dustin about it, he felt the very same way. Parenthood looks different for us, but that's okay. We will be able to give love and safety to children who need it. And if they allow us to, offer support and encouragement to their bio parents and family as they walk their own paths. My heart knows now this is how it was supposed to be from the beginning. It makes sense. I just had to mentally and emotionally get to this place. As we went through the training and home study process, we keep seeing God clearly lighting the path before us. He helped us make it through obstacles with ease. God was equipping us in ways we would never have imagined, and the outside support came pouring in. The same people who loved us and saw us through the fertility heartache were the ones who were cheering us on. And we were blessed with new friends too. Here I am, 2 weeks into our second placement, and I look back and reflect because it was and is a blur. At one point, my heart was so broken, I couldn't imagine feeling whole again. And now my heart has grown bigger than I knew possible. If I had gotten everything I wanted for my future, I would have missed the biggest blessings of my life. God used the pain for good. God's timing was perfect. God called and equipped. Now, I had heard and read those words before, and truth be told, I'd even said them to others. But it wasn't until I was able to look back and see their truth in my own life that I can now say with confidence that God keeps his word. He just may need to change your perspective and heart just a little bit. Thank you.
We know and trust that as God's children, that we are loved by God, that we can look forward to a hope even when we don't yet see it. We know that God is at work in our lives, calling us and equipping us. We see that when Jesus came and lived among disciples and taught them and guided them for years and then gathered with them around a table in an upper room on a night when he knew it was going to be his last with them. And on that night, he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Leanne Ford to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you feel ready. Go forth knowing and trusting that as a child of God, that God loves you, that God is calling you and equipping you with hope for the future. Go in peace. Amen.